Well, hey, good morning, church. It is such a delight and a joy that you have joined us this first October of 2023, first Sunday of the month. And a lot of exciting things are happening in the church. We're starting our new small group campaign for the fall. And also, we are in a brand new series called All In, which is loving God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And this morning, and also loving your neighbor as yourself. That's the flip side of the coin. Today, we're going to start off with a message on the greatest commandment, which is in the first part of loving God with all of your heart. And if you have your Bibles, would you turn to Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 30. Mark 12, 28 to 30. All right. You guys are there, and if you guys could have your Bibles ready. Now, how many of you have either heard of the phrase or even used the saying of all in? Wave of hands. Yeah, the phrase all in, it typically refers to a poker game where a player bets all of their chips on one hand. And they usually do that out of desperation, out of bravado, or they do it out of stupidity, where they just put all their chips in their hand when they're playing poker. I think it was really popularized in the late 90s, early 2000s, you know, the Texas Hold'em. And all in, what first started off as like this poker game term, it became a cultural phenomenon beyond poker games. All in, we used to be just a scenario about when someone wins the whole hand, right? Or they lose it all with one gamble or one bet. And now it means that a person is simply, generally, they're enthusiastic or they're fully committed. Like, I am all in. I'm like fully enthusiastic. Let's go. Right, and that's what all in refers to now. It's everywhere these days, from business jargon to marketing catchphrase, or even to sports mantras, even religion and self-help. People are all in. Well, the Bible had the contemporary meaning of all in all along. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus was asked a question of what is the greatest commandment? What is the first and foremost out of the 613 commandments that we now understood? What is the most important commandment? And as Christians, we, you know, Jesus says to love your God with all of your heart, all of your soul, and with all your strength, all of your mind. As Christians, we have to give every aspect. We have to go all in. We have to give our lives, our past, our present, our future, all that we have, all that we are, all that we hope to be, in loving the person and the work of God. We are all in as believers and followers of Jesus. But the depth of that enthusiasm, it goes beyond our feelings, our emotions, but it actually goes into the level of commitment. And Jesus, he declares the importance of what this all-in life is all about in Mark's gospel. So Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 30, it says, "And one of the disciples came up and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he answered them well, asked him, 'Which commandment is the most important of all?' And Jesus answered, 'The most important is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And the second is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these.'" This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. And so, Father, we want to be all in to you. We surrender every aspect of our lives to you this morning. We surrender this time unto you. Lord, we are all yours. So, Lord, would you take captive every thought? We make it obedient to Christ. We pray right now, Lord God, that your Holy Spirit work within us and that you meet us at our point of need. Lord, I pray that we will not just be half in. Lord, I pray that we will not be lukewarm. I pray that we will not just tiptoe around the tulips, oh Lord God, or dip around the daisies, but Lord, that we would go all in, heart, mind, soul, strength, to loving you, Lord. That loving you and delighting in you, Lord, would be our portion and would our strength. And so would you, Holy Spirit, right now, change our hearts. Would you transform our hearts, oh Lord God, that we would desire you more than anything else. Would you renew our minds so that we could be transformed by the power of your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, be glorified in everything that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, if you look at the series graphic, I'll show it up now. You'll notice the artistic placement of the heart. It's right in the middle. Do you guys see that? It's a human heart and it's right in the middle, in the midst of all these color. And the heart, you guys, is not just the seat of emotions, even though it includes it, but really the heart, the human heart, it contains our desires, our affections, and also our will. And let's just get straight to the main point and the big takeaway this morning. Would you write this into your notes? Loving God with all your heart includes our desires, our emotions, our affections, and our will. Loving God with your heart, with your whole heart, not with some of your heart or most of your heart, not just a fragmented heart or a divided heart, but loving God with all of our heart is not limited to emotions or desires or even affection, but really loving God, even though it includes emotions and affections and feelings, but ultimately the inward volition of the will is included in loving God with all your heart. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus had just been asked by a scribe what commandment was the most important. The scribe asked him, hey, which is the most important of them all? This is equivalent to saying in The Rich Young Ruler, where it says, hey, what must I do to inherit eternal life, in Mark 10 or in Luke chapter 10, verse 25. And this question, it assumes like, okay, there's a bunch of different commandments. Later rabbinic tradition, they give the total number of 613 commandments, which 248 were positive that we should do, and 365 prohibitions or negative, things we shouldn't do. So 365 days, there's things we shouldn't do, and 248 we should do. So the 613 commandments, this was a scribe now. They would write down the laws and the rabbinic midrash or the interpretations of the different Pharisees or different rabbis. And he asked, which one is the, there's of the 613, there's some who are lighter, some who are weightier, or some who are heavier. But which one's like the first and foremost? Like, Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What do I got to do to be saved? Is it following the law? Is it following the Torah? Is it being a good person? Is it being well-intentioned? Is it being a kind person? What does it mean to follow the Lord? And Jesus here, he reaches back to the Old Testament and he recites a portion of the Shema prayer from Deuteronomy 6:5. Let's turn to Deuteronomy 6:5. It says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all of your might. Now, in Jewish tradition, the Shema, the Hebrew word hear or to listen to, that is the Hebrew word Shema. The Shema was recited every day, twice a day, once in the morning, once at night, by Jews for thousands and thousands of years. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And it was a discipline of their spiritual devotion unto God. And that one devotion toward God, it must encompass every facet of their being. Listen, pay attention, hear closely. Listen with your, not only with your ears, but listen with your hearts. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. And the great commandment is this Shema of hearing, intentional listening, that we're to love the Lord our God with the totality of our being, with everything that we have, our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, who we are, we're to love God. And the first fear that we're to love God is in this fear of loving God with our heart. Now the Greek word here is cardia, where we get the word cardiology, or sometimes a cardiac arrest, right? Meaning this word cardia, it's the center and the seat of spiritual life, as it is the fountain and seat of your thoughts, of your passions, of your desires, your appetites, your affections, your purposes, and your endeavors. So the heart, it's like Proverbs 4:23 says, it is the wellspring of life. All the issues of your life, right? It stems from, the root of that is from your cardia. It's the center of your spiritual life. It's the fountain. It's the seat of your thoughts. And to fully understand, not only in Greek here, but the word of heart in Mark chapter 12, we have to look at the great Shema. And the word, therefore, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, is the Hebrew word lev. And lev is this inner, it's this middle or central part of a man. It is the mind, it is the will of a person. So it's not so much affections and emotions and feelings, but it's more the mind or the will. So we see that the term heart, it's multifaceted in the Bible. The heart deals with the will, the affections, the patterns of feelings, and the deep thoughts. Luke chapter 24 verse 32, the disciples, they said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us, while he open the scripture to us? This is the two guys on the road to Emmaus. In Psalm chapter 28, verse 7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him, my heart trusts, my will, my volition, it trusts, my thoughts, my affections trust, and I am helped. My heart exults, and with my song, I give thanks to him. And Jesus said, out of the abundance of your heart, your lave, your cardia, the center of who you are, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the reason why we say good words is because we have a good heart. And the reason why we say bad words or hurtful words is because we have a hurt or we have a bad heart. So everything flows from our heart. And the great Shema, the great hear, the great commandment of not only Judaism, but the authority of God's word, the law of God. You can just sum it up. What do you have to do to inherit eternal life? What's the most important? It's to love God with all of our hearts. Now, you guys, emotion and passions are important to God. This fruit of the Spirit speak of virtues, and not just of thoughts, but dispositions and the emotions of our being. How do we view the term heart? I think in our culture, we think of heart mainly as feelings. Like countless songs have placed emotions, especially love, at the center of our hearts. For all you young people, Miley Cyrus had a very famous dad in the late 90s, Billy Ray Cyrus. And he had a song called Don't Break My Heart, My Achy Breaky Heart, right? And the view of the heart is this kind of like, oh, I have all these feelings. And love in our culture, love the Lord, your God with all of your heart. Love is primarily a feeling in our culture. It is not a commitment. the theme song of Guardians of the Galaxy, right, by Blue Swede. Ooga chaka, ooga chaka, right? I'm hooked on a feeling, and I can't stop believing, whether it's the Black Eyed Peas, where I got a feeling, or Justin Timberlake, can't stop the feeling. Like, we think of love as this feeling, but the Bible teaches us that we must love God with all of our emotions, which is we understand, we can kind of grasp it, our desires, our thoughts, our passions, our affections, but also our wills. Sometimes we have to, oftentimes we have to direct our heart. We have to tell our heart what to do. We have to tell our hearts to be grateful. We have to tell our hearts to be content. See, we don't let our hearts inform us. We inform our hearts, and with a not only with our affections and our emotions and our feelings, but really this idea of commitment and volition and will. Love the Lord with your will. Now, my wife, Renee, is my most favoritist person in the whole entire world. I enjoy her company. We have so much fun together. She makes me laugh. I could share with her just my thoughts. I process with her. We just have so much fun, and we just enjoy life together. And I love her with all my heart. In fact, next week, October 8th, that will be our 18-year wedding anniversary. So our marriage will officially become an adult, not just an adolescent. But in fact, you know what? I'll give you a preview of my Instagram post. Here it is as a tribute to her. You see her in that Jeep, and you might be wondering why I have a Jeep now, or Judah has a Jeep. It's because kind of paying an homage to the wife of my youth. But you know, Renee has been working for almost a year in her new job. So she works at the church, but she also works full time at the YMCA in Kaimuki. But man, the last 2 months have been extremely taxing on her and our family. I mean, I love Renee with all my heart, not just emotions, not just the chicken skin and the heartbeat pumping, my heart racing, but with my affection and my feelings. But I also love Renee with all of my will. And she, you know, during this time, especially this last 2 months, she's been working 10 to 12 hours a day with no day off for the last 6 weeks. Because of that, like, man, I've had to step up. And you guys know, I've been doing the youth ministry as well. So the last 6 weeks, so I've had double the work, but half of the time, because Renee has been working, you know, 12, 14 hours a day. So I have to make the kids breakfast, and I gotta bring them to school. And then I do my work, and then I gotta go pick them up, and I gotta do homework with Ezra, and I gotta help the kids, and I wash the dishes, and I do the laundry, and I've been cooking a lot of spam and a lot of corned beef. And even last week, you know, I cleaned out her car. Why? Is it because, ooh, I have warm, fuzzy, tingly feeling? Is it because, oh my gosh, oh, I just love her so much, and I love her with all my feelings? It includes my feelings, but loving with all your heart, it includes your will. So I just don't love her, and I don't feel love for her when she makes dinner, or the house is clean, or she picks up the kids, or she keeps the house tidy. Even though I'd love that, but my love for her is constant, because love is not based on not just feelings, but it is based on the lave, this part of your, the centrality of your being, which includes your will. And when it comes to loving God with all of our hearts, church, we just can't have warm, fuzzy feelings. We can't just have chicken skin moments when everything is good, when the sunshine is shining, right? When there's not a cloud in the sky, when the kids are being obedient and sweet and not complaining, and our job is doing well and our health is good. But we love Him with our wills, even when things are bad. You think about Job and how Job said, like, shall we only receive good things from the Lord? Shall we not only receive just bad things too? Like, why are we just expecting to, if we have a real relationship with God, right? Let's not just receive good things, but the bad, that he causes the rain to shine, or the rain to fall on the just and the unjust, is the sun to shine on the righteous and the unrighteous. So in other words, we love God with our will, not just with our emotions, not just with our affections, not just when things are going well. We got to be like Job. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, I love you with all my heart. Lord, you have given me eternal life. Lord, you have saved me. You have rescued me from the pit. Lord, you have brought wholeness to me. Lord, you have given me your Holy Spirit. Jesus, I love you so much. I worship you with all my heart, oh God. And here's the litmus test. The litmus test is if the Lord never another answer, if the Lord n never answers another prayer, will you still love Him? Let me say that again. If the Lord never answers another prayer, will you still love Him with your heart, i.e., your will? Like, if the Lord doesn't give you another day, or doesn't give you a promotion, or never heals you, or never answers another prayer of a family member, will you still love Him because He is worthy of love and He's giving you eternal life? And that you're forever eternally grateful and you forever eternally love Him. The Bible says, for whom much is to whom much is forgiven, he loves much, she loves much. So, man, I've been forgiven for so much, and because I've been forgiven so much, I love God so much. Not just with my emotions, it includes that, but it also includes our will. Secondly, is to love God with all your heart is to enjoy God's sustained favor. Would you write that in? To love God with all your heart is to enjoy God's sustained favor. Where do we see that? In the following chapter in Deuteronomy 6, after the great Shema, God is setting His people free, or set them free, and He's giving them commandments. In verse 9, know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who what? Love Him and keep His commandments to 1,000 generations, and He repays to their face those who hate Him by destroying them. Did you guys catch that? That God will keep His covenant. He will keep His promise of steadfast love. This love that is steady, this love that is unconditional, this love that is eternal, this mercies of God. He will keep it, and He will keep that covenant to who? To those who love Him. In other words, if we love God, we with all of our hearts, we will enjoy God's sustained favor in our lives. We all know Romans 8:28, right? Romans 8:28, for we know that for those who love God, and all things work together for good for those who are called according to His purpose. If you love God, all things work together for good. It doesn't say all things are good, because not all things are good. S some things are bad. But if you love God, what does it mean to love God? If you're called according to His purpose, if you love God with all your heart, not just when things are good, with your emotions and your affection and your feelings, and but also your will. If you love God with all your heart, with your will, He will work, He will turn, He will go behind the scenes and redeem, and He will work it for the good. I'll go ahead and close with this, that, you know, have you ever received like a love note from the Lord? And it, love note meaning like a, you know, like almost like a text message that God is saying you, out of boy, out of girl, like, I love you. Sometimes maybe you get that from your wife, right? Or you get that from your husband, or you get it from your kids. But have you personally just gotten those things where it's just like, oh, Lord, help me get a parking spot? It's like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Lord, you do love me. Thank you so much. Right? Or sometimes maybe you get a promotion from work. Maybe something so simple, right? Like getting a Starbucks drink, a free Starbucks drink. Or maybe your kids surprise you on your birthday, right? Or maybe you bump into a friend and like, oh, the Lord loves me so much. Or the Lord confirms something that you've been going through and speaks to somebody, or speaks to you at church. And the Lord, you just feel the favor and the hand and the countenance of God in your life. And that's what it means to love God. To love God means that with all of your heart, that it means to enjoy the favor of God in your life. You know, my son Ezra, he's in this second grade, and he was having a hard time spelling and reading, and so I've been working with him, especially this last 2 months, and I told him the importance of a good attitude and a strong work ethic. Like, Ezra, you gotta have a good attitude and ask Jesus to help. And we've been praying every time, and I don't know, it just clicked. Like a month ago, he just started having a good attitude. Dad, let's do homework. I'm like, before he hated doing homework, but, and we started praying, you know, before we did homework. And ever since he started school, he never got a perfect test. On his spelling test, and these last 2 weeks, he's gotten, Lord willing, 3 weeks, he got a perfect 10 out of 10, 100% on his spelling test, and he's like, oh, thank you, Jesus, right? And I love that, because God is real to him, that to love God is to enjoy His favor upon you. And there's no greater expression of His love for you and for me than when He gave His life at the cross. You know, I talked about common grace earlier, and how common grace, it's this grace where God provides, He blesses, He cares for everybody. The good, the bad, the ugly, the wicked, the sinner, the infamous, like the heinous, like God loves everybody. He gives rain and He gives sunshine to everybody. It's a common grace. But in salvific grace, where God saves those who are His, those who are children, those who believe in the gospel, when we love Him with all of our heart, He's going to work all things for the good. When we love Him with our heart, His steadfast love will be for us for generations and generations. When we love Him with all of our heart, His favor and His countenance, that the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. And so I encourage you this morning, church, that we're to love God with all that we have, with our heart, with our cardia, with our lave, with the wellspring of life, this organ right here that represents all the issues of life. So if everything comes from here, of course we're going to love God with all of our hearts. Amen. Amen. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this morning. We do ask, Lord, that You would strengthen our love for You this morning. Lord, I pray that You would not only strengthen our resolve, but Lord, I pray, God, that You would renew our first love, which is You, O Lord. I pray that our affections, Lord, our joy, our delight, Lord, would be in you. Lord, I pray, oh Lord Jesus, that you would bring that first love, oh God, into each one, oh Lord Jesus, that would fulfill the law, fulfill the requirements of the law, Lord, through love. And so, Lord, I just pray, God, that we would feel your countenance this week as we start our small groups, oh Lord God. I ask, oh, that there would be transparency and fellowship and life that would happen, oh Lord Jesus. And Lord, would you do that for your glory in Jesus' name? Amen. Amen. Well, thank you guys so much for tuning in. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord give you his peace. Go with God, and God will go with you. Love you guys.